Go Illini. Yay, Illini.
How you doing, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk. It's Tuesday. I'm Scott Beatty, along with Lauren Tate, with you till 6 o'clock, a full program tonight. Thanks for being along. We appreciate it, and we've got plenty to get to. We will talk about some sports betting. We'll talk about the latest with Illinois basketball recruiting, the good and the bad that has come out in the last 24 hours or so. Take your calls and texts, and also talk with Drew Dickinson of Illinois Baseball, the pitching coach for the Illini, as they get ready for their final regular season Big Ten series. Starts Thursday night at Illinois Field. The Illini are in to the Big Ten tournament for sure.
And they are now the last five in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. That's, of course, very vague and dependent on what happens here on out. But they're riding the bubbles, what they're doing.
Exactly. And D1Baseball.com, I think, is the latest projection that came out and did have the Illini in. I would think there's a strong case for them to be in, especially after taking two or three from Michigan this past weekend. So, as always, you can weigh in at 356-9397. That's the phone number. And the Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. You can tweet at me as well at Scott_Beatty. Well, let's get what's going on in the world of sports. Today, we start with Illinois men's golf. Really starting to play well. Day two of the Columbus Regional. The Illini are in second place, three strokes behind Oklahoma State in the top spot. The Illini 6 under overall as a team. UNLV is the next closest in the third spot, and they are +7, so that's a 13-stroke separation.
Wow.
All five Illini are among the top 10 scorers in the regional field. Both Michael Feagles and Nick Hardy are tied for the top individual lead, along with two others from Oklahoma State at 3 under overall. Yesterday was Michael Feagles turning in a 3 under 68. He parred today. Nick Hardy did the opposite, parred yesterday and went 3 under today, and they are combined, they're each 3 under as well. Dylan Meyer is 1 under for the two-day event so far. One more to go. Top low scores. The top five, is that the right way to say it? The best low five, the low
the lowest,
top five,
the best scores.
the bottom top low, five of them go on to the Nationals. I think Illinois has pretty much got that locked up, even if they have not a very good day tomorrow. But they want to beat Oklahoma State. They're the number one team in the country.
Yeah, I think Mike Small would like to get in their head a little bit. Oklahoma State's the number one team in the country.
Yep.
At least that's what the ratings say. And you know, if you can knock them off, I mean, it doesn't matter how you come out of this, as long as you qualify, as long as you're one of the five that qualify. But to beat Oklahoma State would make them think twice.
Mark your calendar, Tuesday, November 13th, State Farm Center. Illinois basketball will take on Georgetown as part of the Gavitt tip-off games. Some of the other pairings have Wisconsin and Xavier. It's a rematch in the national championship. Michigan gets Villanova. Part of this sequence of games, Penn State and DePaul, Ohio State and Creighton. But Illinois will get Patrick Ewing and the Georgetown Hoyas on Tuesday, November 13th. Game time to be announced. Baseball tonight, Cubs visiting Atlanta. Yu Darvish still without a win in a Northside uniform. He's 0-3 with a 6-even ERA. He's making his first start since May 2nd, back from the DL. Darvish was beaten by the Braves back on April 13th. Cardinals, 6 games over .500. Matt Carpenter back in the lineup. That's the good news. The bad news, Adam Wainwright is back on the DL. That sort of seems to be the MO for him. Right-hander struggled with velocity in his last start.
If you can't pitch, you're better off that he's on the DL.
Yeah, I mean, he says he needs to pause and get it right.
I mean, that was like pulling fingernails out the other day watching him pitching. Walked 6 2⅓ or something. I don't remember the exact number of innings, but it was in the third inning. They had to take him out with the bases loaded. And he just couldn't throw.
White Sox are in Pittsburgh. Seattle Mariners all-star second baseman Robinson Cano has been suspended 80 games for violating baseball's joint drug agreement. The league announced Cano's suspension today. In a statement released through the Players Association, Cano says, "This substance was given to me by a licensed doctor in the Dominican Republic to treat a medical ailment." He said he didn't realize it was banned. Oops. It's the first major strike in a career that has Hall of Fame potential. Among the other things that will affect Cano by this, he cannot be in the postseason, and he'll lose about $12 million worth of salary. NHL Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Washington up on Tampa Bay 2-0. Game 3 in Washington tonight. 39 of the previous 41 times the team has taken a 2-0 lead in the conference finals, that team has gone on to win. So history on the side of Washington in that series. Some of the headlines for today, Mr. Tate. And then, well, let's start with Illinois basketball recruiting. And we learned last night that Francis Okoro went to Oregon. We had surmised, you had surmised, you should say, that he would do that. It just feels like, though, that Illinois, even though it was said that Illinois was one of the top three finalists between Illinois and Purdue and Oregon, it just felt like Illinois was never really there with the other two.
There was no second. I mean, because he had made up his mind to go to Oregon, it didn't matter. He would not visit. He refused to visit the University of Illinois. You would think if you're the second runner, if the runner-up in this thing, that at least the guy would come and look at what you've got here, but he wouldn't come. There's a standoff between he and his uncle, who he lives with in Normal, and he wanted to get away. And there was nothing that Illinois could do about it. He wants to be a half a continent away. And you remember, he's from Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
So the state situation, playing for your home state, is not a consideration for him in the first place, even though he did play at Normal.
Now, he did not say for sure if he's reclassifying, but I assume he is.
Well, I think he wants to reclassify. I don't know if he can do it without summer school. I've been asking that question repeatedly, and all I get is blank stares. I don't know the answer, but I don't care anymore. He's going to go to Oregon, so he can go.
Yeah, I think if you're as an Illinois fan right now, you just probably have to say move on. But the question for Brad Underwood is, does he have a plan B or C right now for getting somebody with size in?
No, they're on the team now.
That's it.
Well, yeah, I don't know who he would get at this point. I mean, now look, there are going to be some more transfers come out maybe at the end of school here. There might be somebody come back from the draft that might want to go somewhere else. You know, May 30th, a lot of these players will be going back to their colleges or going back to school, as opposed to going to the NBA or going to Europe.
There are way more players trying out the draft than there are draft positions.
180 some, and there are only 60 positions, and roughly a fourth of them or more will be taken by European players. So a fourth of 60 is 15, and there might be 18. So that the remaining, is, let's say there are 42 positions for underclassmen to take. So out of 180, that doesn't fit, does it?
You can't blame a guy for going for a dream.
Yeah.
But let's say you're the 179th best player.
You go back to college.
You're going back to college. Exactly.
Sure.
But
sure.
Who is selling you this? Are you going in there saying, well, I got to just try it because who knows, maybe they'll see something in me that they like and they want to take?
I think you want to get an evaluation of yourself. I think that's perfectly legit.
Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, I don't. Like I said, follow your dream. Go for it. But I hope that some of these guys aren't going in there going, well, because somebody told them, I think you have a shot at it, and they really don't.
Jordan Caroline's in there right now, and he's probably going to go back to Nevada. And when he goes back, he might reconsider for Illinois. He's eligible to come here and play immediately. They want him. They've been after him the whole time. Everybody wants him to come back home. So there's one consideration. Now, he's not the center that you want, but he's big enough to play, I'll tell you that.
Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357, a 309 texture. Says, I said a couple of months ago that Okoro and Liddell are not coming to Illinois. Well, Okoro is not for sure now. He's headed to Oregon. I tell you this, you see these, you read these recruits, and you cannot really read their quotes and get anything out of it. You never know what's really coming from them, because they tend to all say kind of the same thing. If they do visit a school, and I know Okoro didn't, they said, hey, I like the school. I love the vibe there. I love the energy. I like the system. They'll say something like that. If there's several schools they're considering, say, well, they'll say something like, there's there's a hard decision here. I've really got to make a hard decision. But in the case of Okoro, he was going to Oregon all the way.
He just wants to get away. I mentioned the other day, sometimes it's a benefit to be close. Sometimes it's a benefit for the player wants to get away from home. A lot of players leave Chicago and go to other schools far away because they want to get away from that situation in Chicago. That's not the case with Okoro. He's got a perfectly good situation, but his parents are in Nigeria, and his uncle is overseeing him, and evidently there's been something between them. He's insisting on getting away.
Usually you're living under a strict household then, if that's the kind of what's going on.
It sounds like it.
I don't know for sure, but that's often what's going on. So weigh in if you want, 351-5357, 356-9397.
They've got a player in today, by the way. His name is Parker Braun. He's from Overland Park, Kansas. He's 6'7". He is a senior. He is eligible to play this coming year. He would be a freshman this coming year. So he's being faded, F-E-T-E-D, at the iHotel.
If the fact that he is not committed anywhere else give you the feeling of it's a leftover?
I don't know how good he is. I mean, I just simply don't. He's in the same size category with Griffin and Jones, and I think those guys are good players. I mean, they're good high school players, really good. So
he's also got offers from LSU, Ole Miss, Arizona. So that, I mean, just to hear that a school like Arizona has given him an offer, to me, lends him some credibility. And Virginia Tech as well. LSU is in there, if I didn't say that already. So we'll see what that offers. 6'7", from Overland Park, Kansas High School, Blue Valley Northwest. That's suburban Kansas City. Later on in the show, we're going to give away also some Indy 500 qualifying tickets. These are general admission tickets for this Saturday or Sunday. So if you're a fan of racing or you just want to go see qualifying, that's this weekend. Of course, the race is a week from this Sunday on the 27th. We'll give that away coming up in the program. And these tickets are good. You pick which day you want to use it, either Saturday or Sunday, to go see the qualifying. Drew Dickinson coming up here in a few minutes. Also in the program, want to get into a little bit of the big decision that came down yesterday from the Supreme Court on legal. Well, the Supreme Court didn't legalize betting. It basically removed barriers towards it. And it's a little more nuanced than that. So that could open the door for a lot more sports gambling to go on. So I want to dive into that as well. We're off and running here on Sports Talk. Drew Dickinson in just a moment. U of I Illinois pitching coach, as the Illini are down to their final three games in the regular season and the Big Ten tournament next week in Omaha. 73 degrees right now. It's 5:24 on Sports Talk. Scott Beatty and Lauren Tate with you. Taking you till 6 o'clock. Illinois baseball finishes out the regular season, the Big Ten regular season, on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Illinois Field with an important series against Nebraska. Position in the Big Ten tournament up for grabs. Drew Dickinson is the pitching coach, and he joins us now. Drew, always good to talk to you. You're one of our favorite guests, by the way.
And well, thank you.
Yeah. How many minutes am I allowed to go in this interview before I have to ask about Brent Spillane?
Oh, right. Usually that's about 8 seconds with most people.
A tweet came out today from the Stats and Notes Twitter account from Illinois. Brent changed his prescription for his contact lenses right after the opening road trips of the year, and has put up tremendous numbers since then. They weren't bad before that. Has that been the difference maker for this guy?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it has. I mean, obviously, vision's a big deal when hitting. It obviously helped him. And like you said, it wasn't like he was having a shabby season before that, but he did say when he got those new contacts in that it was like night and day difference for him. And I mean, I'm sure, obviously, he's very talented. Obviously, the reason he's doing this is not because of his contacts, obviously, but it has helped, obviously. I mean, you want to be able to speed, get things correct, and it's obviously helped him along the way. And as a fan and as a spectator, I will take it.
This past weekend, you take 2 of 3 from Michigan on the road in Ann Arbor. Those were big wins. How impressed were you with your pitching staff over the weekend?
Oh, it was great, man. Guys went out there and did what we expected them to do and what they can do. You know, Quinn Snarskis actually wasn't very sharp, but what he always does is compete for you and find a way to put up zeros. And once you got that decent lead in the game one, he kept putting up zeros, and you know it was game was kind of out of hand. And then obviously Saturday, the same thing happened again. You know, Andy Fisher had a no-hitter through five and was just running right through the lineup. By the time it was after the fifth inning, it was 10-0, and again, it was game was out of hand, and it was good to see. It was just we played good baseball from every facet of the game, something we know we can do. Obviously, it was a great series win. We really would love to have that Sunday game. You know, we kind of kicked the ball around a little bit and gave them, you know, 400 runs of the five of the runs they scored. But you know, we had a chance to win that game. We had a couple base running blunders and whatnot. But the overall effort, obviously, you appreciate, and it was a good baseball game and a great series win for us. Obviously, a much needed thing to get us back on the good side of the bubble.
We're with U of I pitching coach Drew Dickinson here on Sports Talk. The Illini headed into the final home series of the year against Nebraska starting Thursday night.
Drew, this is Lauren. Take me to the 10th inning of the third game in Michigan. You got a man on second, one out, long ball to center field. What does the second runner on second do in that case?
There's actually runners on first and second.
First and second, okay.
Yeah, and, you know, if you think the guy was going to catch it deep, I get it. You want to tag up, but
right.
You know, quite honestly, you know, it was hit well. And if you're on second base, you know, seeing the same things everybody else in the park is seeing, you're seeing a number. You're seeing the numbers on the back of the center fielder, and if you see that, he ain't catching the ball. and quite honestly, you know, he should have been off the base about halfway, and then would have scored easily. But instead, he was going back to tag, and then basically we tried to score him from standing on second base. And to give Michigan credit, obviously it was a base running mistake on our part, but they made two throws, one from the center fielder to basically shallow center field, which was a shortstop, and he made a long throw, which sent short off the catcher, who made an unbelievable pick at home to make the tag. So obviously the base running blunder was very unfortunate. But then obviously Michigan had to make two long throws and a great pick to still make the out.
If he went a fourth of the way off the base and the guy the ball, I would imagine if he was running away, you could still go back and tag and still get to third, couldn't you?
Like I said, it was just a bad base running mistake that and obviously ended up costing us the chance to win the game. Because I have the full confidence. We scored a run there. Heck, we might score more that inning. Who knows, right? I mean, the inning continues on with one out and runners in score position. But we had Joy Gerber for one more inning, and my confidence that he would have put 1, 2, 3, or, you know, put three outs on the board, and we would have won the game. But baseball sometimes.
What do you feel the limit on Gerber is in terms of how long you can use him?
You know, I'm not going to use him, press him more than 40, you know, 50 pitches max. We've actually had some recent outings that have gotten around there, which is good. It just happened to work out where, you know, some outings have got a chance to get built up, because if it does get a chance in a postseason game where I want to stretch him out, I can get two, possibly three innings out of him. But, you know, that's not his job, though. His job is to come in and close games out. So we have a plethora of arms in the bullpen that need to step up and get their jobs to get the ball to him. That way we can stay sharp and always be at full strength for every game. But I do have the utmost confidence that, you know, if we need three innings out of Gerber, we can get that next set. He threw really well. He threw 2 1/3, 41 pitches. I was very happy with how he maintained his velocity, maintained 93-97, you know, and whatnot. So he looked really good throughout, which is, for us moving forward, was a nice thing to see.
For the guy like him, can if you want to stretch him out, do you ask him to dial it down a bit so he can go longer? How hard can that be for a pitcher?
Yeah, not at all. I mean, you can't ask guys to do things they're not used to doing, right? Especially the way they pitch. You know, Joey is kind of a come at you. I mean, I wouldn't say max effort, but it kind of, in a sense, it is. It's an up-tempo delivery, all those things that play up for a one inning stint. So, no, you're never going to ask Joey to do more than he can. But what he does and what he brings to you, you know what you get is zeros and shutdown innings. His value lies in that. I mean, that's a great thing to have as a team and as a manager or a pitching coach is, hey, man, you take the lead, game's over, because you bring your guy in and 99% of the time he shuts it down. There's a nice comfort factor with that. And every team needs to have a good closer, because if you don't, the game, you know, just to get a good starter, that starter ain't going the whole nine. So it has to go to the bullpen at some point And if you don't have a good back end or a good starter, that team then can get your relievers and then win the game. With ours, take the lead, game's over. So we have that nice kind of that security blanket with him back there. So never going to ask Joey to do more than what he can or change how he pitches. I want him to go full bore for as hard as he can for as long as he can. And I have a good relationship with my pitchers, knowing that, hey, if they're done and there's something's wrong, they'll tell me right now that I have nothing left or I have one hitter left, because they know they don't want to put the ball club in a bad situation.
Drew Dickinson is with us, U of I pitching coach. Prognosticators have, in the last couple of weeks, put Illinois out of the field of 64 for the NCAA tournament. The latest has you in. Are you on the bubble in your mind, and do you, as a coach, watch it? Do you pay attention to that? Because these are folks that follow things fairly closely.
I pay attention to that thing on the hour.
I love it. You're honest.
I am. I mean, this is what I do this for. It's what I live for in baseball. Is you want to live for the postseason and make the NCAA tournament. If not, you know, like, what are you in this for? You know, you need to compete and to help hopefully give your kids and your players those experiences and those memories. So I'm always paying attention to it because you want to be one of the elite teams in the country. And if you're in the tournament, that means you're one of the best. You know, we've gotten a lot of praise from all the teams that we play, saying they were the best team they played all year. They like our club, you know, and we were doing great. And then we had those three straight series losses in a row. We never got swept, you know, but we always found a way to win one game. And quite honestly, we found a way to blow another game in the series without really, you know, giving anybody any, you know, fight, and found ourselves off on the bad side of the bubble. But we knew what we had. We had games left in front of us, Michigan being one of them, and won a big series. And we knew that, hey, you just go win series each week. That stuff will take care of itself, and it did last week, and now this week we just hope to go out, win a series, and get to the Big Ten tournament, knowing that we're in when the Big Ten tournament starts, and barring some crazy disaster of all kinds of other teams, you know, random teams winning at large but that shouldn't be winning, I like our chances of being in the NCAA tournament. And quite honestly, we have an NCAA tournament team that I know can make some noise and make a long run with the guys that we have.
You know, Drew, I got a terrible habit of bringing up things I shouldn't, but
that's okay. What's
our bunt defense? I look back on two games very recent that got away just because of the inability to field bunts.
Right, tell me about it. That was the game three on Sunday against Ohio State, right? We had a leadoff walk, which is, with me as a pitching coach, is an absolute no-no, right?
Yeah.
That's one of our pet peeves. So we have a leadoff walk, and then they're going to give us a bunt. Great. Takes the out.
Yep.
Guy bunts it right back to the pitcher, and an easy throw for Ty, and he throws it away. And then, okay, first and second. They're going to bunt again.
Yep.
And at first and second, nobody out, they're going to bunt. So they're telling you they're willing to take second and third with one out. So basically they're hoping to, at max, they're going to get two runs. That's it, max. Heck, it could be zero. It could be maybe one, which is not a big deal to overcome at all. Instead, they bunt again, and Vanscoy at third bobbles the ball three times on an easy play, and then bases loaded, and then, as you know, the wheels come off, and they score five runs when all they were trying to do was score one, maybe two. And that's college baseball. You've seen it a number of times. You'd have to make those plays, and we had it yesterday, Sunday against Michigan. They bunt, one out, nobody out, runner on first. They bunt, easy throw to second base, guys out by 20 feet. We make a bad throw, and then obviously – another bunt play. We throw the guy out third base. He's out by 5 feet. They call him safe, and then obviously we lose the game. So,
you know, that's got to be, if you're watching college baseball, that's got to make it a lot of fun, because you're watching really talented guys, but they're still young. They haven't had all
right.
the reps, and something crazy can always happen. Where you're watching a major league game, what 95% of the time they're going to execute it perfectly, right?
Yep.
The guy on second base is going to read it right off the bat and not make the blunder, but anything can kind of happen. I suppose that's the fun of college baseball from watching it, but maybe what makes you pull your hair out as a coach.
Well, the most frustrating part about that when it comes to the bunt stuff is every team in college baseball literally does some kind of bunt defense work literally every day in practice. It's just what you do. Why? Because so many college baseball games, when games get tight late, that's when the game means the most. That's when little things, just take outs on bunts. And when you don't, things unravel because, you know, we're not facing major league arms here where guys, it doesn't matter what level. You give an extra out in baseball, you are going to get hurt. more times than not. And then for us, hey, it's one thing to give a make a bad play or not get an out on a bunt, but then you have the ability as a pitcher to overcome that for either you make a mistake or your teammate, and we just, in those situations, haven't been able to do that. But just make day out in the bunt, and you never have to worry about anything. But more simple than saying this.
All right. Tell me about the Big Ten tournament, because you're in. By the way, congratulations on that. After a two-year absence, 2015 was the last season you're there. How important is the Big Ten tournament for your NCAA tournament chances? Obviously, win the whole thing, you're an automatic qualifier. But short of that, what do you need to do in that tournament if you feel confident about your chances going in?
Right. I'll talk about it this way. Let's just assume that we win the series this week, two out of three. If we win this weekend series and go to the Big Ten tournament, if we win just one, we could go 0-2 and probably still be in the NCAA tournament. I would love to win a game, but we're not going there thinking that way. We're going to go in and try to win the thing, right? We're going to have some fun. The Big Ten tournament is going to be great this year. It's going to be a dogfight because so many teams are playing for things. Obviously, teams are playing to solidify themselves in the tournament, to make no mistake about it. There's a team like Minnesota probably playing to possibly host. Then you have Iowa, Michigan, and Purdue at this moment are three of the first five teams out that are trying to play themselves somehow back in. So it's going to be a wild Big Ten tournament, and as a lover of baseball games, I cannot wait.
What's your catching situation going into the games this week?
You know what? It should be good. Jeff Cordy had a possible broken hammy bone on a hit by pitch, but x-rays are negative. So he is good. Actually, he was catching today in practice and hitting. So he was back doing everything. So we're good. We're full strength there. I was so proud of David Cron this weekend for having not started a game or came in and fought. He was outstanding, shut down the running game, and actually brought some nice thunder to punch at the plate too. So yeah. It's great as a ball club. Sometimes those things can ignite your team when guys who haven't played or are not expected to do much come in a role and do big things. It just gets your whole ball club a lot of energy. And they brought that this weekend, and it was great to see.
All right, 6 o'clock, first pitch on Thursday night. So remember, everyone, the series is moved up a day because they get ready for the tournament and you're out of school. So 6 o'clock Thursday, 6 o'clock Friday. Saturday is at 3. Last chance to see the Illini at Illinois Field in the regular season. Drew, best of luck. Congrats again on a Big Ten tournament clinch there, and we always enjoy talking to you, so let's do it again.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right, that's Drew Dickinson, University of Illinois pitching coach. Time now, we're going to give away some tickets to go see the qualifying trials for the Indianapolis 500, 356-9397. The number, trivia question for you. I get 4-pack here, and these tickets are good. You can use them. You can use them for one of 2 days, either Saturday or Sunday. So if you want to use 2 on Saturday and 2 again on Sunday, or all 4 one day, or however you want to divvy these things up, it's up to you. Anyway, just name one of the 3 drivers for the Indianapolis 500 who has won it a record 4 times. There's 3 guys that have won the Indianapolis 500 4 times. Most recent one to do that was 1991. 356-9397. First one with the right answer gets the tickets. We're back with more after this.
6.
All right, congrats, Brad Drago. I hope I'm getting that right. Brad Drago, our winner of the qualifying tickets for the Indy 500 this weekend. He knew all 3 4-time winners, and I think if you're a follower of the race, you probably know these names by heart. A.J. Foyt won it 4 times, Al Unser 4 times, and Rick Mears. He was the last one to win it for a 4th time in 1991. And Lauren, I sparked your memory, that memory of yours about a local guy that raced in it.
Yeah, he was in it 3 times, huh? Larry Boom Boom Cannon.
Boom Boom Cannon from Danville, Illinois. Died in 1995 or 1937. Best finish 1976. 17th in the Indy 500. He was a barber as well. Welcome back, everybody, to Sports Talk. We'll give away another set of those tomorrow, by the way. I'm Scott Beatty, and Lauren Tate is here with us as well. Yesterday, Lauren, sports betting can now First of all, I was shocked to find out that there were some people that were betting when it was illegal.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But
where'd you hear that?
Somebody had mentioned, hey, I used to bet, and I was, I can't imagine how that happened. This has been an engine of sports for a long time. I think more than anybody wants to admit publicly.
Absolutely.
From a league.
People like to have a reason to pull for a team, and you put a little money down on somebody, you get interested.
I was in a bracket this year for March Madness that did not require me to put any money down, but the winner got a $25 gift card. I mean, it's my job now to pay attention to the bracket, but I always ask you, do you do a bracket? You say no. You know, I don't know. Maybe I was in a gray area there, so full disclosure, but I was paying attention to every game.
Absolutely.
I want to win. I want a place in this thing. And that little whatever neurotransmitter that fires, that gives you a hit of whatever, is really addicting.
Oh,
I can see
addictive.
For some people.
Gambling is definitely addictive.
And there are a lot of people in sports that end up with problems financially, and then that leads to other problems because of sports betting. Now, winner here buy winner of the bet buys lunch, buys dinner, whatever. It's have fun. If you can afford it,
there is a tremendous underground gambling going on in Champaign-Urbana right now, and the people that do that sort of thing are very aware of it. I mean, there's some major stuff going on, and has always gone on.
Here's Dallas Mavericks owner, billionaire Mark Cuban talking about this today.
It'll increase interest. It'll add to what happens in our arena and in stadiums. It will increase the viewership for our biggest customers online and on TV.
Do you think the NBA hates that he just said that this is a good thing?
Well, they can officially say anything they want. If the gambling is going on already, do you want to have it organized? Do you want to have it overseen? Or do you want it to go on like it is right now?
Paul Klee, our friend and great writer, used to write here now with the Gazette in Colorado Springs, had a great column on it. You should read it because it's a really entertaining read. His lead here, the NFL just cured its TV ratings illness. Las Vegas just inched closer to hosting a Super Bowl, and it just became tougher than any other time in American history to rig a sporting event. Pretty nice Monday, don't you think?
the rest of it's really good, too. This is a nationally, he's hit the national with this column. I mean, everybody in the country will be reading this one. He's really good.
He said, I'm reminded of a night after a strangely unkempt finish to a Broncos game. Gazette columnist Woody Page told me, that's why only a knucklehead bets on sports. He says, thankfully, I know a ton of knuckleheads. It's really good writing, but it's also some really good points. But the ratings, does this solve a ratings problem for NFL? The NFL is the number one sport bet on.
The NFL doesn't have a ratings problem. What are we talking about here?
Well, they say they do.
Well, I know because
More
people watching that than anything.
But they want more of it.
Well, of course. I don't blame them.
And I think the NFL has been the number one sport bet on for years.
It's a lot easier to bet football than it is basketball.
I used to watch Hub Arkish on Pro Football Weekly, and they would go up and down. There's our locks of the week.
I talked to a dedicated gambler today in Champaign, and he told me he bets football. He always bet football. He never would bet basketball.
It's too up in the air. And I would think the sport you would want to bet least on is baseball. Maybe you bet long-term on baseball, you know, for long-term outcomes. But a game? Boy, that's really risky. That's like day trading.
I'm told that that you have to put up – that the odds are less in your favor betting baseball in terms of what you have to put up, how much money you have to put up. Win $100, you have to put up more than $100. And the number is greater than it is in football.
So here's my question. When I was covering minor league baseball, there would be guys that would have opportunities to play overseas, make some really good money. But they would get approached to throw games.
Really?
They would get, and if you even gave them the right look, they would really be all, they could make life miserable, they could threaten you, all kinds of things. And my question is does this make things more tempting for players?
Or I don't know. They've got windows at games in soccer games in Europe. Windows, yeah, where you just go up and bet.
Yeah. But this was baseball.
It sounds like a horse track to me.
Yeah.
Horse racing, you know, and horse racing, I think, has been hurting, going the same direction as golf and some other sports that aren't as popular as they once were. But this will bring it back.
356-9397. If you want to weigh in, let's go to Rodney. Check that. We've got Bill in Rantoul. Hey, Bill.
How you doing?
Good. What are your thoughts?
It's been going on for years and years and years. It's pretty simple. You bet 100, you win 100. But if you lose, you lose 110. You know, you call it the big or whatever you want to call it. So every dollar that you is bet through a bookie, they make 5% on no matter which way. The object of the game is to get money on both sides. The bookie doesn't want loaded up on one side or the other. They mm-hmm. want it even down the middle. And that way they have an automatic win. To me, it's just like the marijuana thing. The state, I'm sure the courts don't see it this way, but I'm sure a lot of governments see it this way. This is just another opportunity to tax people. They're going to tax winnings on gambling, and that's just another source of revenue.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's
simple.
Yeah.
You're going to follow the money.
You're dead on. Now, I had on the news program an hour ago a professor who has done studies, and we appreciate the phone call, Bill, a professor who's done studies that says it costs the government way more in problems than it does than the revenue that they pull in from taxes. And this is looking at a bigger picture of socioeconomic impact and all that. I don't know what all that is, but it on the surface, like, yeah, you know, like if the government is always going to look to make money on vices that they feel they can legalize. You know, there's certain things you can't legalize.
But the universities of West Virginia, I think, and one other have already applied or already have a legislator putting forth the idea that they receive 1% of all bets in that state. So the universities are going to try to get in on it too because they're providing the teams.
Should there be any difference between betting on pro teams and amateur teams, college teams?
Well,
because the NCAA forever has wanted to be as far away from this as possible, at least publicly. I mean, we all know the number one event that's probably bet on is March Madness.
Absolutely.
Maybe the Super Bowl, you know, because of all the extra things. That's a big driver of the interest in March Madness.
Bill, are you still there?
He's gone. I'm sorry.
Okay, Bill, I was going to say, what's the number? Is it $1.5 billion that's gambled each year under the table in this country? That's an estimate, obviously.
Yeah.
Billion, that is. Not billion. $1.5 billion. Who knows what the number is, really?
Here's my question. If you were not gambling, if you're somebody that says, basically, I don't want to do something illegal, and this opens me up, does this open up floodgates to people that are going to start gambling? Or where, if you were interested in gambling, you were already doing it. I don't know how you police it if it was illegal. And you know, it's not legal yet here in Illinois, but if it becomes, does everybody start go doing it?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think the people that aren't interested in gambling won't gamble. I mean, but it'll make it easier for those who do.
That's
who
for
want
sure.
to.
Sports Talk here on a Tuesday. And tomorrow, Scott Ritchie in with me. We'll get more on the latest from the Illinois basketball recruiting. Might have an interesting guest, but it's not confirmed yet, so I don't want to give it away yet in case it doesn't work out. But it'd be interesting to talk to somebody who may have a perspective on this whole thing and somebody who's got a national name as well. But it's not decided yet.
Oh, come on, tell us.
I'm just teasing you. You'll have to find out tomorrow.
Did you reach him?
I reached him, and he said, call me tomorrow. I may be available.
Okay.
We'll be back. The draft lottery tonight. Bulls have a shot at getting the number one pick, but I think it's Phoenix that has the best chances of getting the right ping pong ball.
Boy, there's no way to do this right, is there? I mean, you got teams. dumping games at the end of the season in hopes of getting the better. That's just bad for basketball, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't have an answer.
Yeah, some people have talked about after the All-Star break, looking at your record post-All-Star break and giving you something for that so that you have incentive to keep winning. If you're out of the playoffs, whoever, you know, best record post-All-Star break for a non-playoff team, that type of concept.
Yeah.
That might fix it. All right, Mr. Tate, we got a show in the books, and you're back at it Saturday morning with Steve, so
yep.
Look forward to hearing all that. Appreciate it as always.
All right.
Thanks to Drew Dickinson, pitching coach from University of Illinois. They're in action Thursday night, 5 o'clock. Thanks to Blake Landa behind the scenes, and thanks everybody most of all for listening. Back tomorrow, Ian Scott with more sports talk and Little League tomorrow night as well. This is News Talk 1400, WDWS Champaign-Urbana, News Gazette Media Station. CBS World News Roundup is next. Good night.